Hello, everyone. So glad to have you joining us today. Some great news. Next Sunday, June 14th, at 9:30 a.m. up at the Bird Park picnic ground area, we are going to be gathering together outside for some church services again. And it's going to be so exciting. We've been longing to get back together with you in person. And so we are going to be offering some outside services here in the month of June, as it's the safest way right now to offer some gathering places together. And so we'll be getting information out to you in email blasts and also on our website. So make sure that you check that out. There will be obviously the protocols in place of social distancing and face mask requirements as we're in close proximity to others. But there'll be plenty of space there to spread out. Of course, there's not a lot of shade, but you guys can bring your own chairs and shade covers as you see fit to be comfortable in that setting. We will have some bench seating up there and a few chairs if you don't have that for coming and enjoying us in that. But again, we're just so excited to be able to just come together and worship together in the same setting, and to learn together in His Word. And so again, next Sunday, June 14th, 9:30 a.m., Bird Park Picnic Grounds. Now, for those of you that are at higher risk, we understand that at this time you'll be choosing to stay at home. And we respect you and honor you for that decision. And we will continue to encourage people to stay safe in this time and transition of reopening. We will be continuing to offer our online services and online study groups through this transition period of reopening as well. And so we're in no hurry to stop those forums. That's also having a powerful ministry to those in this community, including yourselves that are listening in today. And lastly, I just would love to share our thanks for those that have been just faithfully giving in this time. I know how difficult it's been for many, but as the Lord has been providing for us, it's so neat to have your partnership in that process of ministry and meeting the needs in our community and in this church. So thank you for faithfully giving of your tithes and offerings. And again, that can happen online on our website and or by mailing in that support through our P.O. Box at P.O. Box 98. Well, with all of that, let's worship. Let's turn our heart and our attention upon Him. Let's give Him thanks today.
Right. I was dead so you sang me back to life. And I was lost till you called me out by name. I was down till you picked me up again. I was wrong till you loved and made me right. I was dead till you sang me back to life. You give me garments of praise, fullness of joy.
And so now let's prepare ourselves to partake in the Lord's Supper together. You know, think upon that time, that night, when Jesus, in that upper room, he was sitting there with those close to him, those whom he loved, and he grabbed the basic elements of bread and wine that were before them, and he explained and prepared them for what was to come, his amazing sacrifice of his life, and the atonement for our sins, of which now we look back upon and remember what that represented. And so we want to do that now, and we want to partake together. And so let's take a moment, and you may want to hit pause at this point in the service and just go grab something that can represent that bread, some crackers, maybe some bread you can break, and then grab some juice or some wine that you can either dip the bread and partake, or you can take a drink of. But go and grab those elements now, and then come back and hit play, and we'll continue on from there. So as we come back together here, I first just want to comment to those that maybe you're alone listening to this. And I remind you that you are very much not alone, that the Lord is very present with you right where you sit. And I would even remind you that when we partake of this together, we are partaking with the family of God across this whole world, that on a morning like this or an evening like this together, that they are partaking like we are in remembrance. And so think upon the question of how has Jesus set you free? And thank him for the ways that he has shown up, maybe even in this week, and has been walking with you in a very present way, bringing encouragement, bringing a freedom, bringing a life, because again of this work of what we hold it, that we represent in our hands here of the broken body and the shed blood for you. And let it be a time of celebration as you just again thank him for that incredible sacrifice and how present he is in your life. And if you're a family unit, I just pray you could take a unique time here together. Again, you could even hit pause for a moment and maybe go around in your family and just maybe share a thanks or an acknowledgement of how Jesus has shown up for you this week, a way that he has stepped in and has redeemed you, has forgiven you, has pulled you up and out of the things that so often tie us down and burden our lives. Sin has a way of doing that. It locks our hearts up. And I think a fun time as a family could be to just, how has God, through his son Jesus, freed you? And let's just give thanks for this. Let's acknowledge the ways that he has freed us. And then through some prayer together, re-enter into this time of worship, where we'll partake again of that body which was broken for you, the blood that was shed for you, and then just take and eat together. And then as we worship, let this be a sweet time with your family or you as an individual to meet with the Lord, celebrate the newness of life and the wholeness of life that comes through what Jesus has done through his death, and not only his death, but again, his resurrection, by which we are set free and made one with our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus, again, as we enter into this time of worship, we do thank you. We acknowledge all that you have done and your sacrifice and your love that is so on display because of the choice where you laid down your life for us. We take up these elements, and we take up the life and the forgiveness that comes with it. And we agree with you, Lord, that you make us new, and that we can enter in now into a life of the Spirit by which we are free. We celebrate that now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus.
Anxiety, it's a low-grade fear, edginess, stress, a big heap of what-ifs, cascading storms of uncertainties stacking one on top of the other. You're certain the sky is falling, and it's falling disproportionately on you. And the definition of anxiety means to choke or to squeeze. So anxiety and worry are a choking, a squeezing, a stripping away of your sense of peace and joy. Anxiety is a
close cousins to fear. Fear sees a threat. Anxiety imagines one. Fear screams, get out. Anxiety ponders, what if? Fear results in fight or flight. Anxiety creates doom and gloom. Fear is the pulse that pounds when you see a rattlesnake coiled up in your yard. Anxiety says, never go walking through that grass without shoes because there may be a snake out there somewhere. You know, the United States is the most anxious nation in the world. And yet we have running water and electricity, homes and vehicles. We have houses. We have so many of the comforts of life. And yet we are a country of stress and strife. How do we explain that? You know, if anxiety and worry were an Olympic event, we would win the gold medal. You know, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable. Anxiety is going to come in your life. But the prison of a perpetual anxiety, that's a choice. That is optional. Now, this has just been a little excerpt from Max Lucado's Anxious for Nothing series on Right Now Media. It's a great resource. You'll have to check it out. Well, welcome today. How are you doing, really? What's the environment been like at home lately? What is your thought life and your perspective towards these days that we're living in? Has there been a growing frustration, an anger, or a fret, or maybe an anxiousness or fear over just the uncertainties at hand? Maybe a discouragement of heart just due to the loss of many normalities of life and just time with others. My heart goes out to you. I just look forward to this morning, Tom. I want to bring encouragement. I want to help navigate this time with you. In productive ways. Right now is what can be seen as a big pause button in some ways, or you know, you might have heard a reset button. I don't necessarily like the idea of a reset button because you know God has different plans than that. A reset would be simply to just start back over with probably many of our same bad habits when things open up, and we just kind of go back to life as is. But rather, there's a great moment of pause here by which God does have our attention. And there is some time that maybe we wouldn't normally have to come back to Him, to dig deeper into our dependency and trust in Him, and to learn from Him so that we can approach days such as this without anxiety, without being taken out by frustration, anger, and bitterness or just discouragement and depression. These don't have to define our life. Not when we have a Lord that is near. You know, Philippians 4:4-6 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayers and petitions and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful passage. And it's so interesting here to think about Paul's words of rejoicing in the Lord always. So even right now, to find a place of rejoicing in Him. And how is that? Well, it's because the Lord is near. You know, to remember Paul, who is writing this, and this is one of his prison epistles, you know, it's amazing to reflect back into some of his circumstances that he writes out of. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, five times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep, and I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure and my concern for all the churches. It's even interesting hearing him mention churches there because, you know, even as he is in prison, did he have, you know, maybe a church body that he could just feel a lot of encouragement and strength from? Not necessarily. You know, the Corinth church he's writing to here had many discourses and struggles and strife with each other. And he was constantly needing to speak into those things. But here he is with all of these experiences. And yet his comment here, it's almost as if he had checked into a hotel in the Bahamas somewhere. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, like a place of steadiness for him, a confidence, a surety in the Lord. And because the Lord is near. This isn't being rejoicing because the circumstances are awful. This is a rejoicing because he knows the presence of the Lord. And again, we mentioned just a moment ago, you know, the presence of anxiety is going to come in life. That's an emotion that's going to arise in us, and circumstances bring that. Especially right now as we're even considering opening our city. And as things begin to open, do you notice a fresh layer of anxiety that comes in? This fresh layer of fear that again just starts to rise again as we start beginning to realize we're going to start interacting maybe with more people in our town. So these will come. These anxieties will come. These pressures will come. Paul was no stranger to it. He said, I'm constantly in danger from many different sources here, and yet I know the Lord is near, and so I choose a rejoicing that I have him. And because I have God, I am good. Because I have God and he is near to me, I need not be anxious about anything. What encouraging words. You know, I love the message of this passage in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness and everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Isn't that good just to find that type of comfort at the center of your life, that kind of ease and settling in the midst of very much an unsettled world that often we live in. You know, you may feel alone in this journey, and especially isolation even brings that, even with families in homes, and yet, you know, just a need or a feeling like you just need to be alone in a room and you're just frustrated with the environment there, perhaps. But you're not alone. God is near and he is here to help. Why don't we ask for help? Why don't we call out to God when stress builds and trying times come? You know, this isolation can build a downward spiral of fret, you know, but we don't have to go it alone. And Paul's reminding us here that we're very much not alone. And so I wanted to press in this morning and to remind her that we do have this God we worship. We do have this God that we walk life with, and he's a near God, and he's a God who is well aware of the ways that life can come at us and the ways that these things have an effect upon the ways that we respond to life. And He doesn't want us to live purely on our emotions. He wants us to live in faith and belief in Him. We need to trust this process of transformation in our lives, that God is working in and through these aspects to shape, to mold, to strengthen, to mature us. And so that when storms come, and so that when times such as this are here among us, we can navigate them. We can navigate them with a sense of confidence, much like Paul, or a sense of peace. And again, this is coming that sometimes we can't explain, but it is the source from God Himself. You know, I remind us that belief always precedes our behavior. You know, if you want to change the way a person responds to life, then you first need to change what the person believes about life. So what do you believe about God's sovereignty over your life? What do you believe about His plan and His control? Because He truly is in control. Or do we believe that He is not in control right now of our life? It begins in this place of belief and trust. And I just ask that we could consider this morning and just reshift that belief and that trust back onto His Word this morning. Much of what we've already been tapping into, and much more to come here, of just His steady hand, the steady good hand of God that is in control of our life. And we can relinquish these things to Him. We could give up these anxious thoughts and our fretting attitudes, and we can have Him in return give us an understanding and a peace that passes that understanding, and an encouragement and a strengthening, so that we can begin to make the choices that we need to do and act in a way that would be gentle and kind to others and patient, or even just this process of giving God time to play the things out that He is doing in our life. You know, we're such a society that is instant gratification. We want things now. Just make it all better. We don't like to wait for things. We don't like the process of change and the pain sometimes that brings, even in the stripping away of a sin life and a rebellious life that is so often moved against God and His commands, or even moved against just the ways that He would have us go about this life. And we have chosen not to go that way, but yet our own way. And so our lives have been frustrated. And we cry out to God, like, why is it this way? Or why aren't things changing? And yet God is such a patient, long-suffering, merciful, gracious God who is just waiting for us to turn to Him and to ask. And as the Message version said there, just turn these petitions and these worries just into prayers, by which we throw out our concerns on Him and then listen and move in the way and allow this wholeness of God and this steadiness of God to come washing over and begin to move, much like the people back coming through the wilderness, out of slavery and into the promised land, that they needed to trust God. And they depended on Him daily for the simple things of such as food and shelter in the places of, you know, safety from enemies and other things that would come on in. And, you know, we can do the same life living in a dependency on God, and He will show up. But would we? Would we listen? Would we seek? Would we concentrate our daily focus and time into a prayer life with God, into calling out to Him, into listening and then receiving from Him, into not only listening but applying what we're hearing from Him into our life, to depend on verses like this so that when we go into our workplaces right now and the anxiety comes in and fear tries to cut us off at the past, that we would bring this verse up and again would push those things away. And we settle in that we have a God with us and we're good. We're good. We're going to be responsible. We're going to be cautious, but I'm not going to be functioning in fear. I'm not going to let anxiety be a perpetual thing in me that takes me out. This is the beauty of the gospel of what came to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the beauty of God's word and the beauty of having a God who is not distant, but knows us and who is near. And so what I want to do this morning is just share another passage out of Psalm 63. And I've shared about this maybe last year, and I just wanted to go back into it because there's some great insights here. And again, a great time. Are we taking advantage of the time we have right now to be spending time with God? I mean, we are blessed to maybe have more time to read, time for going on some walks, time for making some things right in our home, time for making things right in our own relationship with God and getting things centered back on Him. And so I want to dive into that. But right before we do that, in Psalm 23, just such a great passage. You know, I love how it reminds us, the Lord is our shepherd. You know, He is here to guide, to lead, to protect. But He says, you know, He will lead us to those green pastures and near those streams of water. You know, and He is here to restore our soul. How is your soul this morning, today? How is just the condition of your heart? Do you know that the Lord today wants to bring a restoration to that, a refreshment to that, and lead us to a place where we can receive that? And so much do we need that on a daily basis. And so we come to the Lord and we taste and we partake of that. So let's look at Psalm 63. I'm going to start in verse 1. O God, You are my God. I earnestly search for You. My soul thirsts for You. My whole body longs for You in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen You in Your sanctuary and gazed upon Your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise You! I will praise You as long as I live, lifting up my hands to You in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feasts. I will praise You with songs of joy. I will lie awake thinking of You, meditating on You through the night, because You are my helper. I sing for the joy in the shadow of Your wings. I cling to You. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Verse 1 there, O God, You are my God. You know, this isn't the God that was, but the God that is. This isn't the God found in a few special people in church history, but can be found by all. Not a distant God that can't be experienced or known, but the God who walks with us and us with Him. I just start by just saying, you know, that question and challenge from Joshua to choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve this God. I am going to come to this God. I love that proclamation. Oh God, You are my God. He leads into there. I earnestly search for You. My soul thirsts for You. My whole body longs for You. Those words, earnest and thirsting and longing. You know, it comes out more in the psalmist's heart in Psalm 42 as the deer pants for the water. So my soul longs for You. My soul thirsts for the living God. You know, Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord. This is that I seek, that I may dwell in the house all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. There is a longing, there's a yearning, a thirst, a hunger. It's turning our dependency and our, you know, the things that we strive after and indulge in this earth. We're moving all of that attention onto God because it is in Him that we're truly finding the sustenance, this sustaining, this fulfillment. So are we groaning? Are we longing? Are we yearning as those who have gone before us? And even as creation yearns and longs for God, what stirs your affection towards Christ? Or what's robbing your affection towards Christ? Said there, in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I mean, what's getting in the way of your union with God? I mean, there is forces at work here. The world is a discouragement often in our lives on a day-to-day basis. The system and the society and the cultures and often sometimes set themselves against the very things of God. And we have the enemy, naturally, who is trying to stir up and placate into our emotions and to get us distracted and to throw lies and malaise over our lives. And of course, the sinful flesh in us, just our inclination to not choose God or not to trust Him or not to believe Him. And these are forces, and it makes it a dry and parched and weary land where there's a sense of no water. Well, be aware of these things. Be aware of the things that come in and try to cut in to that relationship with Christ. I think there's no better time than right now. It's a detox, in a sort of speak way, of our relationship with Him. A time where we have time to sort and to get some of these things back focused on Him and to turn our lives fully back into that dependency on Him. And so let's take advantage of this opportunity we have to, again, like the psalmist, seek and throw ourselves fully on to the Lord. In verse 2, 3, and 4 there, it says, I have seen you in your sanctuary. I have gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself, and how I will praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. And there's beautiful things in this activity of worship and prayer and the Word of God. These are often activities and choices and disciplines in life where we begin to learn of the glory of God and the power of God and the testimony of God. And as we do it, we are stirred to worship and we can come to believe for ourselves that this unfailing love, this unconditional, blanketed love and grace of God is better than anything else we've ever experienced in our life. Have you come to know that? Have you experienced that? Where are you finding that in your life these days? You know, where are you finding the presence of God? How have you experienced His unfailing love? What difference is Christ making in your daily walk? You know, how is the Spirit of God showing up and reassuring the places of our heart and the thoughts that we have in our days to remind us and to fixate upon, again, the glory and the strength and the love of our God? Verse 5 there says, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. There is such a satisfaction that comes. You know, I was reminded of when the disciples were coming back to Jesus at the place where the woman at the well happened. And, you know, they came to bring food back to Him. And here, Jesus, we have some food for you. And He's like, oh no, I'm good. I am satisfied because He has been doing the work of the Father. And just the presence of God and to be in that place of union with Him is a place of satisfaction. Even from a way of just even our physical states of need can begin to be so much more eased when we're sitting in the hands and the care of God and trusting and walking in Him with that, in that place. You know, verse 6 and 7 there says, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for the joy in the shadow of your wings. You know, again, there, thinking, meditating, you know, He is our helper. There's this focus, there's this turning our attention and our focus upon Him. Like the song, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Wouldn't it be good to just these things, just easing a displacement of the things of anxiety and worry and frustration to just fade away as we begin to gaze and our focus is turned and our worship and our thanks and our meditating is fixated on Him because He is our helper. You know, where has He helped you these days? And And what has he brought you through? Journal these things. Write them down. It's so good to bring those out in prayers of thanks or in activities of worship. Just acknowledging. And if not, cry out to help to him now. Cry out and to lay these things before him, and then turn your gaze upon him and see what he would respond to you with. See what he would give you in return that you could trust him with. And I love how it closes out here in verse 8. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. I love that clinging. I mean, hang on to him, especially in times like this. This is throwing our society and communities into a new ground many of us have never walked in. So many uncertainties and constant things changing of what we hear in the news or what to expect. But God is one thing that's very certain. We do not have to be uncertain about him or his ways. And so we can cling to him, and his strong right hand will hold us securely. So cling to him, trust him, depend and rely on him, finding nourishment and strengthening and hope, love, life, joy, encouragement, healing and direction. All of this comes from the beauty of a Lord that is present in our life. And when we cling to that, you will find it. You will live out of that. I think in just response to all this morning, I guess I would encourage you to choose maybe four different aspects to consider right now in your life. Maybe for some of you, this is a beginning place. You just need to choose him today. You need to choose this God and begin to proclaim him over your life. Accept Jesus into your life and the love and the place where he has redeemed you through the work and the resurrection of that death and resurrection on the cross that he has done for you so that you could come and know this to be true. Receive that today. Choose that and begin that belief process that will form how we approach and behave in this life. Because again, it comes out of that belief in Jesus and that deep trust and faith in him by which will then shape the ways that we approach it. For some of us, we might need to consider the commitment to just seeking and maturing this process that the psalmist is talking about, this longing, seeking, thirsting. I mean, have we gotten lazy? Have we gotten complacent? Have we gotten too comfortable? As the United States is a very comfortable, you know, comforts and materialism and just our choices and what we want to do and when we want to do it. And we've just drifted away from this reality of God being the thing we need to be seeking, spending our energy on, time with. Recommit your heart and your life to this journey of seeking and maturing and finding and tasting and knowing the satisfaction that we have just read about in Psalm 63. For some of us, we might need to evaluate the opposition right now in our life. Maybe we've been focusing way too much on the enemy's lies or maybe we've given him places of strongholds in our life where we really need to break the agreements that we have been listening to and the lies over the truth of God. And we just need to turn back to him. We just need to repent. We need to lay down the areas of sin in our life and receive the forgiveness and the newness that Christ offers. And enter in again to a life of freedom and a life that can then lead us into the hope of Christ. Lastly, we may need to practice this presence of God, just learning about what it means when, especially when we give our lives to him for the first time. It's like, now what? What happens? What does it look like? Well, it's practicing the presence of God. It's walking with him day to day. And throughout your day, it's hearing from him in prayer and in the word. It's talking to him also in prayer. It's sharing with him throughout our day and taking captive our thoughts, right? And making them obedient to Christ, like the scriptures say. It's just drawing life from him every day, the strength, the encouragement, understanding his provision, his protection. Knowing that he will give wisdom and guidance to the decisions we have at hand. We need to pay attention to his leading. We need to pay attention to his direction and heed that as that good shepherd that wants to lead us to those good pastures and still waters for the restoration of our souls. And may I suggest just maybe five simple things in that category as we close out this morning, of just some ways that we can practically settle in to that walking with God. I mean, first I would just bring our attention to this idea of just unplugging. I don't know how much you're watching social media right now or just the news. We have to keep these things in balance. There's such a goodness in unplugging from it. You know, studies show that rates of depression and anxiety raise in correlation to the time you spend on social media. So where is your sacred space with God? Unplug. I mean, turn those sources off. If you can, get out and walk or go for a hike and just breathe in some of the fresh air and take in nature. I mean, by the way, I mean, the real versus the artificial is wonderful for the soul. Just the fresh air and nature and just the sight of God's beauty out there of all that he's created versus just the artificial words we live in so often, looking at screens and all the mechanic things that we use and play with. I mean, just to talk with people in real time versus on text, you know, through an actual phone conversation, even maybe versus a texting or a messaging and stuff. I just encourage us to go after the things that are things we can touch and feel and smell and taste, and let these senses bring back the very presence of God in our life. Let's unplug from the stresses of life and throw ourselves into the experience of where God is in our life. What is he showing? What is he unveiling to us? What is he unearthing in our lives? Now, in this process, I believe it really leads to another stage of what's called release. I think one of the things we can constantly do each day is release. Some of the things that we begin when we take time on a walk or a hike and just have some time with God, he reveals things to us. And often there's things that we need to release. If you're watching news right now, which often many are, we get caught up with just how much negativity there can be. It just keeps pouring on and it can be discouraging. Well, we need to release these things. It just, our heart was never intended to hold all of that. It just takes our heart out. So there's a releasing of these things to God. Okay, God, I know, you know, these things are happening and I give it to you. I want to trust in your timing and things. I want to trust in your protection and things. And just release and receive a true restoration of the soul in those moments. Not going after the quick fixes of relief, which isn't a release. We just cover it up and mask it with alcohol or with binging on films or whatever it might be to just kind of find a release. But it's not truly letting go of anything. What we really need to do is literally give those things over to God and just allow a peace to come washing in that we talked about earlier today. We need to pray. You know, the first purpose of prayer is simply union with God. It's literally to align ourselves, to dial in, to listen. It is that releasing to him and just seeking him like the psalmist was saying. And then eventually, yes, that leads into our prayer requests and requesting things of him. But let's be active in prayer. That message version of Philippians 4 earlier was wonderful, but just turning these things into prayers with God and finding the ways that he comes in and settles us in that activity of prayer. Truth. What is the truth you're clinging to these days or currently listening to? I just bring in Psalm 19. It's so wonderful. In verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than more pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Oh, man, could I just encourage you to throw yourselves into the truth of God's word? soak it in, bask in it, take it in. It is so life-giving, restorative, and it gives us so much direction in our daily lives. We don't have to move from feeling to a feeling or emotions to emotions. We can settle in to a firm foundation of God's word in our life. And the presence that he brings through the Spirit of God that brings that word to life in our souls. Lastly, worship. Just worship. Turn on some worship music. It's amazing what it'll do for our focus and our lifting of our spirits. And so much worship is basked in Scripture and the truth of God. And it'll help fix our thoughts upon him. But what are things that can stir your worship to God? What are things that you just want to thank him for? This is, again, an act of worship. And even our lives, how we, again, live our lives right now, choosing to move against anxiety and move towards this trust and praying and receiving the peace of God is an act of worship to him. To live in such a way like that honors God, and it is literally an act of worship. But we, of course, love worshiping in this church. We love singing praises to him. We love playing it throughout our days and our workplaces, at home. And I just encourage you to do that. Get out in nature and just worship him in nature. I mean, even looking at nature is worship in itself, because you're acknowledging the beauty that you're seeing. And so I just encourage, take these simple steps like this and create sacred spaces. You have a great one right now in some of the time that we've been given to refocus ourselves in this way. And so I just pray encouragement for you all. I pray that as we are reopening our community, as we're reopening our nation, as we begin to, again, come back in and these anxiety and places of fear start kind of rising back up, now we have the truth that we have found this morning in the Word of how to navigate those so that we aren't taken out by that. But we press into a great journey because of the presence of God, for he is near to our lives. And so, Father, we choose you this day to be our God, and we to be your people. And we seek and we long and we thirst for you, the living God. And that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Jesus, for your life that you have given us. Through your death and resurrection, you have made it possible for us to be free from things of anxiety and fear, things that enslave and imprison us. And Lord, we choose to have a life free from that and not living in a perpetual place of anxiety and angst and frustration and anger. We are thankful for the freedom that you have brought, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, may we sense you're moving on the day-to-days right now. Can we sense you're speaking to us through the Word of Life, through godly individuals around us, through creation, Lord, that you are turning our attention to you to totally find that satisfaction in you in every way. And Lord, may we live out of that. May we live out of that discovery of the goodness of God and just almost come to expect that is the God we walk with today, so that we can look forward to with much hope, even in the midst of circumstances that may not have changed yet in our lives. Yet now we have a hope of God, because you are a God who is near. And so we call out for help and you meet us there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Father. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains. Yeah, higher than the mountains, higher than the
the mountains that I face. Stronger than the power of the grave. Constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
On and on.
On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. One never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
See that again, your love never fails.
Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Your love.
May the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. God bless you.